You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week. If Jesus had needed to produce a CV, a large chunk of his working life was spent as a tecton, which can be translated carpenter or craftsman using wood, stone, and metal. Of course, we know very little about those years. The Gospels focus on his 3+ years in public ministry. But this imaginary CV will give us a reminder that the Son of God spent 85% of his working life serving people in the town of Nazareth. In 2025, it still needs underlining that the Christian's daily employment is valuable to God, alongside activities connected to their church and devotional life. I'm sure this is not news to you, but the focus of many churches suggests that what really matters to God takes place in a designated building overseen by ordained staff. But every Christian is a priest and carrier of God's presence wherever he has placed them. The charity Transform Work is one Christian charity that helps Christians remember this, with its strapline, Transforming Work and Workplaces, through Christians empowered to live out their faith in word and action. So I'm delighted to be joined today by its CEO, Roz Loker, who has been my guest before and involved for 22 years championing the cause, and also Martin Link. Martin is a freelance strategy consultant and also leads a charity called The Business Connect, having previously worked as a global strategist for a global engineering firm. In the context of Transform Work, he's heading up Thrive 25, a conference series in Scotland aimed at inspiring and connecting Christians to live out their faith in the workplace. So welcome, Roz.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
And welcome, Martin.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be here today.
So I'll start with you, Roz. It's been quite a leadership journey, I'm guessing. What keeps you motivated leading something for over 2 decades?
I know. When I saw this question come through, I thought, oh, I could say all sorts of brilliant things, but I thought I'd just be me and tell you what it's not. Straight away, I thought, listen, it's not a big paycheck for sure. That's what it's not. It's also not the job, to be fair. I got made redundant from this role for 3 years, but I kept pointing people to connect with Christians in your workplace, join your professional sector group. So it's not actually having a job in it. And it's not the people. I know that's quite controversial. I love the people we work with, but the board that I had 20 years ago is obviously a different board now, which is wonderful, isn't it? And God changes that all the time. I remembered of Esther in chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, when Mordecai says to Esther, if you don't speak up, God will bring somebody else, because God has got a purpose. He's got a vision. His will like come into being. So are we going to join in with what he's doing? And so what is it then for me? And I'll tell you what it is. It's just a calling. Like, I've got a friend whose calling is a doctor in medicine, like cut her open, she's a surgeon, and she will, that's what she knows she was meant to be doing. I've got another friend who's a policeman, works for the Met. I can't tell you it's classified, but thank God, we thank you, Jesus, that he's part of that organisation protecting us in this nation. And so God has somehow got me, got this calling on me, got this passion. It's like Jeremiah 20 verse 9, you know, like it's like fire shut up in my bones. And even when I'm on a dog walk with my husband and we talk about doing stuff, I'm like, oh, workplaces. And he's like, Roz, there's other things going on where Jesus is winning people for himself outside of the workplace. But I'm like, the workplace is where it is, my friend. So yeah, you know, I'm using my talents, my skills. I'm a networker. I'm a natural people lover. I'm a natural leader. I can build a team. I'm not very good at IT and all the rest of things, but it is this that God's got me in my sweet spot. And he got me from a young age. As you know, I set up the Christian Union, our workplace group in my local school when I was a teenager. Did the same at university and saw my friends, my classmates, if you like, my lecture mates, come to faith in Jesus. And so God put it in me from a young age. And you can't help it, can you? Somebody said to me the other day, how is it that you're still passionate about this? I was like, I don't know, but it is God's put it in me. And I love it when Jeremiah says, I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So even, when a job gets weary, I just need to share and encourage people and connect together, because I've seen people come alive when they put God first in their work, in their actual work, as well as connecting with Christians. For me, it's how we're going to change this nation.
Oh, that's well, brilliantly said, Ross. And I can well remember you came to the old studios at Premier, and you blew my mind in the sense that the narrative seemed to be, oh, it's really hard in the workplace. You've got to keep your head down if you're a Christian. And you had a different narrative that some companies actually welcome. So, without saying too much now, just remind me of the kind of things you said then.
Well, it's not rocket science. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a workplace group back in, the Old Testament. And I think God is a group. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were born into groups, families. We work in groups. In Premier, you're a group, and all these organizations are groups. And so for Christians to thrive in the workplace, we want to help connect you to find other Christians in your organization. And we would say the best way of doing that is to connect together to form a Christian workplace group. They're often known as staff networks or employee resource groups. That's when they connect with the D&I, the diversity, equality, and inclusion framework within an organization. But that's what we've been doing. We've been doing it since 2003, creating these Christian workplace groups. The Equality Act 2010, that came in like 7 years later, and it's an open door for Christians. And so organizations are welcoming Christians to be part of that diversity framework, but a lot of Christians are scared. They think it's for minorities, which is not an understanding of D&I. And so it's just a massive open door to share the gospel. And again, I say to people, in Acts 17:23, Paul, when he goes to Athens, he looks around, he says, you're very spiritual, you guys, and you've got this statue to the unknown gods. Let me tell you about him. He took the opportunity in front of him to share Jesus, to share the gospel. And diversity, equality, and inclusion is an open door for Christians to share Jesus. And we have whole seminars on how to do this in a logical, rational way, which is you're completely transparent. So you work with your boss, not against them. And it's, Jesus is for everyone, right? He's completely inclusive. He's not exclusive. He allowed everybody to come to him, no matter what gender, what state they were in, but they always left changed, for good or for bad. But he allowed everyone to come. And that's the beauty of workplace groups. You cannot not be evangelistic because you exist, and because your name is, Christians in BT or the Eon Christian Fellowship or Christians in Government or what have you. The name declares who we love. That's Christ Jesus. It's amazing. I mean, like, why wouldn't you want to why wouldn't you want to join with other Christians in your organization and pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as on earth, in Anglian Water, in Thames Water. Gosh, they need a lot of prayer at the moment. In Jaguar Land Rover, who are going through a lot of changes at the moment, in Shell, in BP, in your local authorities. I mean, local authorities are amazing organizations looking after us. They're the big daddies in the like. They're like their mothers. I think national government is like the dad. They take care of our roads, our dustbins. They clean up after us. They're so good. If you're not praying for your local authority, who is? That's why we want to find the Christians in your local authority or councils, get them together to be praying for the CAs for righteousness, integrity, justice to be maintained in your local council, because it goes well with you, right? In the place where you live. Anyway, honestly, I could just go on forever. So, Andy,
Well,
reel me in.
do introduce Martin to us, because obviously work has been flourishing in Scotland as well. So maybe you can introduce Martin. I'm going to ask Martin a few questions as well.
Super. Well, I met Martin. Martin, when did we meet? What year
It was
was
a while
it?
ago now. Yes, so maybe 2013 or something, I think.
We got asked to speak in Scotland. So I got my little car, drove all the way to Scotland, and I thought, oh, where am I going to stay? I was very young. And I put out some feelers, and Martin and his wife and family said, "Yes, come and stay with us." Amazing. So I didn't know the guy, and we spoke, and LICC were there with Mark Green speaking, and we had a really great time. And then got to hang out with the Link family and had an amazing time. So we've had a friendship since then. God is big on relationships and friendships, isn't he? And that's how things work in our world. And so we've kept in touch all that time, and actually helped you set up your Christian group at the time in Wood. I don't know if you're going to go on and talk about that. And recently have been in touch because in 23 we got some grant funding to have an ambassador in Scotland, but it didn't go quite to plan. Andrea, lovely, lovely Andrea, God had a different plan for her at the end of 2024 to move back to London. But at the start of 24, Thrive 25, we come together and we had a retreat, and we felt the Lord say, open doors in 24 so you can thrive in 25. And it didn't feel like that. I tell you, it didn't feel like that at the end of 24 when Andrea had moved on. But we were coming up to Scotland as a board. And I thought, because we wanted to support her and what was going on in Scotland, I thought, what are we going to do? But the whole board were full of faith because obviously God had a plan. So I emailed a few workplace friends. Martin was one of them, Gavin was another from Solas. And we sat around a table in the Hilton Hotel. And to be honest, I'll let Martin tell the rest of the story. But so we've reconnected properly in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so it's fascinating to look back, Roz, because I guess just to kind of give the journey from my side. So I've been in Scotland since I came to university. I'm from Yorkshire originally, and been here. I've been working here all my life, and as Roz said, set up a Christian group in Wood, the engineering company, in 2016, with her help and another three Christian people, which was amazing. But one of the things that we did during the oil price crash in 2015-16 was we set up a charity called the Business Connection to try and support people in the workplace, whether they have faith or no faith. It was very outward facing, very trying to encourage people, equip them, trying to change the dynamic in what was a very macho alpha male environment where you couldn't show any weaknesses, you couldn't talk about things like faith. And people were scared, and they were scared to show vulnerability. They were scared to talk about their faith. Anyway, we set up this charity. We started doing breakfasts and bringing people together. And then in 2018, God put it on our heart to do the first Thrive Conference. And this was in March 2019 in Aberdeen. And we brought together 12 Christian organizations to bless and encourage and celebrate Christians in the workplace. And it was the first event since the event Roz spoke at with Mark Green back all those years ago. And it was an amazing event. And then we were going to do one in Edinburgh and Aberdeen in 2020, and then COVID hit. So we did an online version in 2020. And then after that, a lot of things changed with COVID. And I was praying to God last year, saying, Lord, it's really on my heart to do Thrive in 25. For two reasons. One is it's 5 years since we did it last time, and the second is it rhymes. And I felt this affirmation from God say yes. And then I went to people who around me who I needed help from to ask, and there was nobody really catching the fire of the idea. And this was back in the summer last year, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'll lay this back down. You know, maybe I misheard you. It's fine. It's not meant to be. And then when Roz invited me to meet with the trustees of Transform Work, and Gavin Matthews was sat next to me from Solas, and they said to me, Martin, what's happening in Scotland? And I told them a little bit, and then one of them said, whatever happened to Thrive? And I said, well, God laid it on my heart to do Thrive next year, but there was no one to help. And they said, that's funny. And then they repeated what Rose just said, that God had told them that he would open doors last year, that they would thrive this year. And we were like, wow. And so they said, we'll help you. And then Gavin Matthews next to me said, we'll help you at Solas. So that night, Friday night, October last year, the three organizations came together and felt this just exciting affirmation that God is in this. And so, yeah, to fast forward to today, it's about 5 weeks away, and it's starting in Glasgow on the 13th of September. And we've got an incredible array of speakers, and we just want to really ignite a flame across Scotland where people catch some of the vision that Ross has shared, and that kind of ignites Christians in the workplace. And it's, yeah, I don't know how much you want me to share just now, but it's been hard for a lot of Christians. And Scotland doesn't have a lot of the big Christian groups that are in London and in England. And so yeah, we're in a real kind of pioneer work right now, where we're trying to change people's mindsets, open people's eyes, and encourage them that it is possible to set up these groups, and they're a real blessing to you, your other Christian friends, and the companies and organizations you work for. So yeah, we're right in the middle of that right now.
Ah, terrific, Martin. Obviously, at one level, praying together is fantastic, and that in itself changes things. But you have stories of also of people finding faith or being encouraged in their faith, in their discipleship through the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I can speak personally about myself, that my own journey was one where my mindset needed changed handed, to be honest. So when I was a student, I thought I was going to the mission field. I went to China in my final year and taught English, and I thought, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go back to China. And I thought that was my future. It was definitely either that or being a pastor, and I felt a strong calling during my university days, actually through a similar calling in Jeremiah. I didn't know your verses, Ros, but mine was also in Jeremiah. I will make your words a fire and these wood the people it consumes. And I felt this really, really strong calling into ministry. And so then I entered the workplace, and I was like, oh wow, this is hard. And Lord, why am I here? And so I ended up working for a company called Wood Mackenzie. We're an amazing company. And back then in Edinburgh, there was an organization called Business Matters Edinburgh, with a lovely guy called Ian Archibald led it. And as a 20-something, I got to see that it's possible to reach professional, super bright, super materialistic people with the gospel if you remove all of the cringes and you have this really beautiful setting in a hotel. You have these lovely triangle sandwiches and little bowls of soup at lunchtime. And we did lunchtime alpha for many years, and it was incredible, Andy. I saw for myself that I didn't have to leave the workplace to reach people. And if you got the model right, you could actually engage people really well. And so then when I left Edinburgh, God basically told me, I'm going to use you in Aberdeen. And I was driving up to Aberdeen. It was a long commute from near Dundee, where I live. And I was like, why am I doing this, Lord? And he's like, I have a plan and a purpose in Aberdeen. And the business connection is effectively a pretty much similar model to the Business Matters Edinburgh. So we took that model to Aberdeen, where we've been for the last 10 years. And now we're doing it in Dundee. Now we've been doing it in Dundee the last 2 years. And then now we're doing it across five cities in Scotland, which is where we're going with the Thrive Conference. And so my mindset needed to change, because I was sitting there frustrated at God that I wasn't in the mission field. And it took me 10 years for him to say no, Martin. He finally kind of, I was wrestling with him for 10 years, and he said, no, you're a missionary in Wood Group, in Aberdeen, in Dundee. This is where I want you to be. And so I share that story, because I actually shared it on Sunday past. I was preaching in the Borders at a church, and I was speaking on Ruth chapter 2 about Ruth and Boaz from a work perspective, workers' protection, provision, and abundance. And at the end, I shared something of that story. And whenever I'm sharing it, I ask people, put up your hand if you've got a, this is, it was like 50 of us there. And I said, put up your hand if you have a Christian group in your workplace. There's a group of Christians and you can meet together, pray together. Nobody put their hand up, Andy. Nobody, not one person. Afterwards, this guy came up to me and said, wow, that was just for me. A chef who's struggling. He's really struggling to have a faith and be in that environment. And he's feeling totally isolated and alone, and he doesn't know how to live as a Christian in the workplace. I'm like saying, you got to come along and be part of it. And yeah, that I think that's the biggest journey has been in myself, to be honest, Andy, that how God's changed my mind and my perception of where he's working.
No, thank you, Martin. And I think the whole language of ministry mission has to change within the church environments. I remember listening, we mentioned Mark Green, who's kind of a bit of a patriarch within this whole thing. And Mark came and spoke at our church and gave out badges with FTCW on them, full-time Christian worker, and gave them to everyone. We're all full-time. It's just where we happen to be working. So that's all fabulous. Now, there will be those listening who are thinking, "Cruel boy, this is interesting. I don't have a group in my, I'm not really sure. I'm not even sure I can even open my mouth about my faith very much." So Martin, perhaps you start and then maybe go to Roz. What would you say to someone who's listening to this and is feeling a little bit awkward, nervous, but wants to take the first step?
So I was in that position. I'm an evangelist at heart, and I've had to kind of figure out how you survive and thrive as an evangelist in the workplace. So one company I went to, I didn't tell them I was a Christian for about a year, and then it kind of came out. And we were doing a Bible quiz at Christmas time, and one of the guys couldn't believe that I was a Christian. He was in shock. And the reason was he basically liked me, and he his brain was kind of malfunctioning. And, I'm all for quiet discipleship and building relationships. And I think there comes a moment to speak up, and there comes a moment to be bold. And I think the Spirit gives you that wisdom, right? As an individual, the Spirit, if you're being led by the Spirit, he will guide you into all wisdom. I think broader than that is, you mentioned Mark and LITC. I think the six M's have been very helpful, modeling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, molding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and being a messenger of the gospel. And what you say is only one of those six. All the other five are how you behave and how you, and it starts for me with doing excellent work. And, the Christians should be the best line managers. They should be the best leaders. They should be the best employees because of our integrity, our ethics, our work. Look at Ruth, that's book on Ruth on Sunday. She's a prime example of a diligent, faithful, godly woman worker. And so I think the other thing, as I head over to pass it to Roz, it's very hard to do it on your own. We have people in our network who are on their own, and they're trying to find other Christians, and you're easy pickings for people who might want to push you to one side and intimidate you if you're on your own. And so I didn't set up the group in Wood for many years until God pushed me. He nudged me to do it. And I went around to about 12 people asking them, would you set up a group? Would you set up a group? And in the end, I found two other people who were willing to step out. And we just did it one day. We felt God telling us, do it. And we did it. And then we spoke to the HR after that. But yeah, I think you need that community, don't you, Roz? You need people around you who are going to stand with you, and so you're not isolated and vulnerable.
And just to say, there are Christians everywhere, so no one is on their own. You just need to ask the Lord, connect me. So there's something called Christians in Food and Retail, one of our newest Christian professional sector groups. So you can, that chef that you met on the borders, get them. I can connect you with Sophie and Matt, who lead that Christian group. And that's what Transform Work. It's a trellis, really. It's a place where people can go to our website, type in your profession, your sector, where you work, your organization name, and hopefully a group will come up. If there's not one there, contact us, because not all groups are public. Some people say, don't make us public, but they want to be connected in with us. So email us and we can connect you if we do have a group. If you want to start a group, it's really easy. You can go to our website, press the button that says start a group, and you can download all our resources for free. But like I mentioned already, in the Bible with Daniel in chapter one, he is a leader. He had a team, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, around him, and they resolved to live for Jesus together. And the first thing they did was like, we don't want to eat all this steak. We want to keep to our Hebrew diet. You know, you like Martin said, you've got to know when to be the wise as the serpent and gentle as a dove, when to be the lion, when to be the lamb. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. And in Daniel, in that chapter, they decided not to do that. But what did they do? They went and spoke to management. He went and spoke to his leader, and he just said, is it okay for us not to eat this food? And he was like, no, you've got to eat it, otherwise I'm going to get killed. And he's like, why don't we try it? And if it doesn't work out, we'll go back to eating a steak. So there's a conversation with someone senior already. The pattern is there. What we're doing is not, it's right there in scripture what we're encouraging people to do. And so, you know, of course they look well, and then the result was going to take the steak away from all the others. I don't know if they're happy about that or not, but basically, all boats float when the Christians connect with God
Amen.
and make a stand. You know, the Bible says, let your light shine, put it on a lampstand. Why? So everyone in the room can see. And when Jesus in Matthew 5 was saying that, he wasn't talking to you as an individual. He was talking to the Jewish people who had come to listen to him when he's expounding the Beatitudes. You, plural, yous, let your light shine. A city on a hill. That's why groups are so important. The greater you are, the more you can do. So I just gave you a testimony. Last month, spoke to Simon Greathead. He'll be a great person to get on. He leads the Christian group in Jaguar Land Rover. You know, they've had like 200 people worship in their conference room. They're fully endorsed. They're part of the diversity, equality, and inclusion framework. And obviously, there's some stuff going on with JLR at the moment, if you've been reading the news. So we need to pray for the organization. But they have been running educational courses on Christianity and seeing people come into faith in Jesus. And we had a call last month, and he was like, Roz, there's a big plant in Solihull. There's like over 1,000 people that work there, and we've been praying, God, we want to set up a Christian group there, you know. And like, so they're praying, because you've got to pray first, heaven to earth, right before stuff happens on earth. And then one of their team got asked to go to that plant, and so when he was on the shop floor, he kept asking, are you a Christian, are you a Christian, are you a Christian? And one guy said, no, what is a Christian? And he basically said, what gave the gospel message. A Christian is someone that believes that Jesus. And this guy said, that is brilliant. Can I become a Christian? And right there and then, this guy led this colleague to faith in Jesus. They didn't stop there. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Found somebody else, led them to the Lord. Two people in one day in the workplace, carried on. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? What did he find? A hidden pastor. Someone who's a pastor in work but hadn't told anyone. So what we've got now, we've got a Christian group with two people that need discipling and a pastor that can do it. God is opening doors. And how did it happen? Because God raised up somebody like a Daniel, put a team around them like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they didn't hide their light. They went and spoke to management. They put it on the lampstand, and now they're good news, and they're able to share Jesus with other people. And that's a great story, you know, in London, Royal London. Let's take another organisation just off the top of my head. You know, a small group there, five committed Christians, huge organisation. They've been going maybe in behind the scenes a number of years. They've just got in touch with us. We're helping them. Why don't you engage with management? So guess what now? They're now on the intranet around Christmas. They're able to tell people what Christmas is actually about. At Easter time, they're able to have a stand because our diversity, equality, and inclusion group, they're able to give out tracts, have a stand, give out chocolates with scripture on them. So this is taking place because the group decides to be together and ask Jesus to help them engage with management. And it's not just that. I won't be able to say some of these stories, but there are some groups who have changed policy within the organization. They've challenged policy. So that righteousness would come. And where did it come from? It came from them saying, this isn't right as a Christian group. Like, this is what our workplace is doing. This isn't godly. What do we do about it? Let's pray about it. Okay, right. Who's going to speak to management? And then, right. So they're in it together. Like, Daniel was a spokesperson, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in it together. And we can see that as, like, if when you carry on reading Daniel, the three of them got chucked in the fiery furnace, didn't they? So we see this happening. We see well-being being challenged as the Christians enter into that sphere. It's CBRE. I can tell you this one story. When the lady, Amy, her name was, she they all took in bean bags, and she led a meditation, completely Christian meditation, background music, Christian music without the words. The room was full, and you know, people said, It was one person fell asleep because he was so stressed out, and HR asked them to do it again. They led it as a Christian meditation, and I just think it's wonderful.
Well, terrific. We've just got time, guys, to remind ourselves of where the Thrive 25 is going to be and when. Martin?
Yes, absolutely. So let me just, before I give the exact details, just mention our aims. So our aim is to commission 1,000 Christians into the workplace, to start 50 new Christian workplace groups across Scotland, and to get 300 people connecting across these five cities on a monthly basis. So we're going grassroots, and we're trying to have an enduring impact. The events are between the 13th and the 20th of September, Saturday to Saturday. So we're starting in Glasgow with an event at Finlay Church, and all day Saturday, 9:30 till 4. And then we're traveling. We've got a group of about eight of us traveling around Scotland. Rosie's going to be there with her husband, and we've got folks coming from California and also Colorado, from America. And then we go to Inverness for Tuesday evening. We've got three evening events: Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening. We start off in Inverness at King's Church in Inverness, and then we travel to Aberdeen, to King's Aberdeen, and have an event there. And then with Thursday, we're in Dundee, where I live, and we're at a church there Thursday evening. So we're trying to make it easy for people to get to if they're at work during the day. And then we finish on Saturday at Charlotte in Edinburgh, all day again, 9:30 till 4. Mark Green's coming up to speak at that. He's been name dropped a few times today. At each event, we've got a church leader speaking. We've got Ros involved. I'm co-hosting it along with a lady called Gabby, who works at EY. So we're both in the workplace. We've got ministry leaders speaking. We've got testimonies from at least three or four people who are in the workplace every day, sharing their stories at all the events. So yeah, it's like nothing Scotland has ever seen. And so
Well,
we just need people to come. So yeah,
wow.
www.thrivescotland.org is the place to look for bookings. Thank
Right,
you. Thank you.
my pleasure to have you on the show. It's goodbye from Martin,
Goodbye, everyone.
and bye from Ros.
Goodbye.
That was my conversation with Martin Link and Ros Loker, Ros, the CEO of Transform Work. And Martin, a freelance strategy consultant who's heading up Thrive 25, a conference series in Scotland aimed at inspiring and connecting Christians to live out their faith in the workplace. So may God bless those efforts. And if you're interested at all in that conversation, do go to the Transform Work website and find out more as to how you can start a group in your workplace. So this is Andy Peck. Thank you for your company. Looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.